who have a hymn they would like to give out? Oh, that was a quick hand. What number? Do you know the number from this hymn sheet?
Number 5.
Number 5. Do you know that song well, or you just like number 5? Huh? Is that Around the Throne of God? Is that the one? Good. How many would like to sing that with us? Adults too? Wow. Nice. Let's sing hymn number 5. Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children, your sins are all forgiven, the heavenly anthems ring, singing glory, glory, glory to God on high. Let's look to the Lord for help first. Blessed God and our loving Father, we give thanks this morning for thy love toward us. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ did come into this world to save sinners. We thank thee that his blood was shed on the cross, and how precious for us to be able to say, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And this morning, we thank thee for this little time together at Sunday school before us, knowing that this particular meeting we can use to address our children. We think of many of the little ones here. We ask for help, ask for blessings for them. Ask that if they have not yet received the Lord Jesus as the Savior, that thou would work in their young hearts and draw them to thyself that they may be saved. So we commit this meeting into thine hand, looking for help and for blessings for us too, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, it's funny we sing that around the throne of God. There are children. Well, I suppose many of us are children. I know my wife sometimes tells me to act my age. She thinks I'm still acting like a kid. So some of us don't grow up very well, but it's just the children. You know, what's funny is I look across in the front row, some of you, I look at you and go, you look like your mom and dad. Don't you? There are images, the resemblance. And I remember standing up here, talking to your mom and dad when they were little. And then I remember them as young people, and now I see you. And I think of how Scripture would say, there is yet another generation. I won't quote the rest of the verse, but the thought was, yet there is another generation. And you know, your mom and dad took the Lord Jesus as the Savior. They put you here this morning because they want you to understand what God's offer is. That not just to say verses, not just to say things that you know some of us older ones would like to hear, but that you truly believe that Jesus died for you and that he is your Savior. Let's sing another hymn. Who has another hymn? I'm going to pick this side this time. What number would you like? Number 6. That's a nice one. You must have heard what I was saying. Here, this hymn writer tells us this. Come to the Savior, make no delay. You know what he means by no delay? Don't wait. Do it right away. It's not like, you know, if you were like me when I was little, when my mom go, come. You know what I do? I just wait. I know she'll yell louder. And then we do that with our children, and then we yell them by the name. We'll call them by the first name, and they still sort of, I got time. And sometimes, I don't know if your parents do this, then we call them by the full name. Then they know they're in trouble. But here, the word of God, or the hymn writer says, come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in his word, he's shown us the way. So let's sing this together. Come to the Savior, make no delay. Thing we should come to the Lord with no delay. What's the urgency? Why do you think that? Why do you think that?
Because he wants us.
He wants us. That's a good answer. He can have us any time he calls for us. Is there another reason that someone else can think of? With no delay. I see a big kid here want to answer.
The Lord Jesus can come for us at any time.
Oh, the Lord Jesus can come for us any time. I'm thinking of another reason. Can anyone think of another reason why we should not delay? Is that a hand up or just, okay?
Because you never know if something could happen.
Oh, that sounds very serious. And that's what I was thinking of. You know, I'll share with you a little story. Now, some of you, and I know the older ones, you can listening in too. This is not just for the children, right? We have big children. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was with our brother, Leslie Denson. And some of you heard that he's home with the Lord. John Kim and I was in his home. The day after we were at the conference at Regina, I visited with him. In fact, I still remember the last conversation I had. He pointed at a brother and he said to me, David, who is he? And I told him who he is. And shortly after, we thought he fell asleep. His wheelchair was a special chair that can stretch out. We thought he was resting. That was the last we talked to him. The Lord took him home a few days after. You know, when I was younger, I didn't think about death. We think we are invincible. We can do this and that. Nothing will happen. The worst is we'll go, ouch. And mommy will come with a band-aid and everything will be better. You ever think that? But then the Word of God says, it is appointed unto man once to die. Man, woman, to die. It doesn't say how old you have to be. Do you need to be 35 before you die? Can a baby die? Yeah. Older person, perhaps, we think of that. But we are God appointed. It is appointed unto man once to die. Now, sometimes we misquote that verse. We'll say, but after death. Did I say that correctly? No. But after this judgment. So we don't know when the Lord could take us home. And that's why we should accept the Lord, hear His voice, accept Him without delay. Who has? Let's sing one more before we go to our verses. I went that side. Maybe, did I pick this side? I can't. Okay, you go ahead.
Number 7.
Oh, I like that one. Because we just said how serious life is and how serious the way of salvation is to you. But then there is always that glad side, the joyful side. So let's sing about this. Number 7. Glad I It's interesting, we talked about how perhaps a young person, a little one, could die. And I was just thinking, the Sunday school verse. Now, I know some of you learned a different one, but if I remember correctly, the verse is Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. Am I right in saying that? How many learned that one? Oh, good. At least there's one person that can say that verse for me. Let me just turn to that verse. Proverbs 27, verse 1. I'm going to read this just for those who may not have been familiar with it. Proverbs 27, verse 1, by the way, is giving you a chance to rehearse that verse too, isn't it? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Boast. We brag. He said, don't brag about tomorrow. You know, in the book of James, he said, tomorrow we're going to go to such and such a city. We're going to do business there. We're going to buy. We're going to sell. We're going to make money. And then he said, that's not good. What you really should say is, if the Lord will, we will do this and that. Now, you know what's nice with children here is, I know you remember things better than the older one. And you are actually better at reminding your parents verses. So when you see older ones, your parents, or someone like us, you might look at us and say, why are you bragging about tomorrow? All you have to do is quote that verse. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You know, back a few months ago, there was a conference at St. Thomas, Ontario. I think half the room probably were there. We were so set to go to that conference. Conference started on the Friday and on the Wednesday. Because there was a family emergency. Even though we were so sad, our hearts were looking forward to meet our brethren and to be able to attend the conference. Life is interesting, isn't it? The Lord may have something for you than what you planned for. Okay, enough said. Who would like to say that verse for me? Okay. Oh. Do you have a mic? A remote mic? Okay, it's okay.
Proverbs 27:1. Boast not of thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1.
Very. I think. Oh, there it is. I was looking for now, but it doesn't exist. Very good. Now, would you be my helper? You see that little blue bag over there? Can you go get that for me? First thing I want you to do is reach in and take one little candy for yourself. And would you be able to help me give it to the next person who say the verse? Would you do that? No? Or are you shy? You would? Okay, go see Mrs. So. Take that bag. It's funny, it was a box of these Halloween candies, and last night, halfway through the night, I go, we have lots of children here. I hope I have enough. So wait till the next person say the verse, and would you go up to them and let them choose one? Okay, thank you. Who's next? Who would like to say that verse? Or another verse? You're going to make me walk around the room. Go ahead.
Boast not of thyself of tomorrow. Knowest not the day may bring. Proverbs 27:1.
Very good. Thank you. Oh, see, my helper is also very good. Anyone else on this side while I'm here? I'm going to work my way down.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
Thank you. Anyone else? I saw hands here.
Proverbs 27:1. Boast thou not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day bring forth. Proverbs 27:1.
Thank you.
Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1.
Thank you. You want to say it or?
The Lord's my shepherd, and I shall not want. Psalm 23:1.
Thank you. Did I see a hand back there? No. Okay. Anyone else? You don't have to. You can say it to your parents afterwards. No hands here.
Okay.
Boast
not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
Thank you. And did I miss anyone else? Okay.
John 5:24. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1.
Thank you.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
Thank you. Did I miss anyone? Anyone else? Oh.
Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1.
Thank you.
Boast not thyself about tomorrow, for thou Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1.
Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for they know not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1.
Did I miss anyone else? Oh.
In him was life, and the life was the life of the man.
Very good. Thank you. You know, don't feel bad that you didn't say the verse in public. Because I know what that's like. It is difficult with lots of people watching and listening. You know, I remember I used to sit in the chair and shake, and I would go, two more, then it's my turn. And then one more, I am next. And I used to tremble. I still do. I just don't let people know I'm trembling. But it is good to learn verses. You know, when I was younger, your age, yeah, you're going to laugh. That was a long time ago. And I remember, brethren used to say, remember the verses when you're young, because when you get older, you're going to have trouble remembering them. Yeah, now I see they're right. So learn scriptures while you're young. Okay, let's sing a hymn before we go into our story. Which side have I missed? I started on this side, right? Okay. Did you give one out? No, you didn't. Okay.
Number 6.
We sang number 6 already. Can you pick another one? You like number 2?
Number 4.
Number 4. We didn't sing that one. Okay. A ruler once came to Jesus.
In the way of salvation and life, the Savior made answer in words true and plain. He must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee,
saw a lot of hands before. Let's sing one more. I know I said that already. Did you guys give one out before? No. Okay. Go ahead. Hymn number 16. This is an old favorite.
Salvation is a big word, but I am not too small. Would do.
just sang that, if I could have only one verse. Do we need a lot of verses to tell the story of God's love? We sang this, if I could only have one verse. If someone say to you, all you have time for is, quote, one verse. What verse would you have? Maybe you have to look at him. Stanza number two, it gave us a little hint. If I could have only one verse. You know, I'll share with you this. It's kind of funny. People, some of you may not know me. I get scared when I stand up. You know, before I would go, oh boy, if I could only stand up and present the gospel, I can talk about this, this, and that. And then when I get asked, the nerves comes in and I don't know what to say. So here, perhaps it would help us for some of us who are nervous or doesn't know what to say. Even children, you don't know, but you want to tell them the love of God. If you could have only one verse. I saw some hand here early on. What's that verse?
John 3:16.
I know someone quoted that earlier. Tell us what that verse is.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
Isn't that a wonderful verse? John 3:16. If that's the only verse I can have to let the world know that God so loved the world, meaning everybody in the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Do you know what it means by perish?
Die.
Die. But even worse than that. You know, have you ever heard of a phrase, maybe your mommy will use that, you go shopping and they bring things home, they go, these are perishables. What are perishable stuff? Is that a cornflake? Is that perishable? No, they put enough chemicals in there that will last 5,000 years. Right? They put preservatives in it to preserve you. What's perish? What would perish? Have you ever left an apple half eaten and let it sit on the countertop?
Eggplant.
Eggplant? Yeah. A lot of fruits and vegetables, they don't just die. They die slowly. And it perish. You know, I sold a car one time to a man who was doing car detailing. And he called me up a few weeks later laughing. He said, I didn't know you were growing apple trees in the back seat. That apple perished in the back seat. Okay. So we said we'll finish this hymn. Let's sing stanza number three. Salvation is for men. This help, we're going to talk a few things. Just so you know, I won't be very long. My wife often reminds me and say, don't talk too much. That's one of our tendency. And with children, we want to keep it simple. And be honest with you, even with adults, I find it need to be simple for me to retain. I'm going to give you a big word. I don't know if you've heard of this word before. And you may have to ask your parents afterward to see if I'm right. Have you heard of a word or a phrase, I should say, reticular activator? Have you? What's a reticular activator? I'm even looking at the adults behind you. They're going, I guess not very many go in the medical side. By the way, neither am I. It's some little thing in the back of your brain down the spinal cord. There's a little, I was going to say gadgets. I like gadgets, but there's no gadgets in your body. Called reticular activator. Now, I know some of you have cell phone, and you're probably Googling that right now, reticular activator. You can save that for later to confirm that. Okay. A reticular activator is something in our brain that have two functions. One is to make sure we sleep properly, and the other is, while we're awake, that we do things properly. Simple, isn't it? Now, the problem with that is, most of us don't get the two, we get the two mixed up, right? How many times that when you should be listening, you're sleeping? When you're sleeping, you're listening. But there's another function that's interesting because it also prompts you into things, right? You know how many times someone talk about something, you go, oh, but it has nothing to do with that conversation. But it prompted you. So there are many things, the reason I want to tell you that, and I'll tell you more in a minute, is that there are many things that should prompt you about the love of God, about the gospel of His grace, but we don't see it. Right? Let me give you an example. You may just laugh. I was with a conversation with someone one day, and then the radio came on, and they said, oh, tomorrow will be Pearl Harbor Day. I go, oh, no. And this man said to me, you're not old enough to remember Pearl Harbor. I said, no, it's not that. That's my wife's birthday. It has nothing to do with Pearl Harbor, but it prompted me, and I still forgot to get her a gift. So we see that. Now, how many times have you, maybe your mom and dad said, we like a green Honda passenger van. And you go, there's no green Honda passenger van. But then the moment they said that, you drive down the street, what do you see? You see a whole bunch of green Honda passenger vans. That's your reticular activator working because it prompts you into things. It's interesting, isn't it? When someone prompts you, you remember things. So now I'm going to tell a different story. Some of you know that we've been traveling a bit the last few months. And in the western, be careful the word state, I was going to say provinces, in the western United States, they have a lot of gas stations with a dinosaur picture on it. How many of you have seen that? Yeah, we don't see too many out here. Even the word Hess, it was more common, but we don't see that anymore. But when you go out west, you see this gas station with a dinosaur. And then underneath, there's a word or a name. It says Sinclair. Remember that sign? Yeah, you know that. Well, I remember a story, and I think I won't name the brother. Remember, he said at a gospel, he said, someone walk up to the gas station. There's a young man, gas station attendant. He walked up to this young man. He said, young man, who put the sin in Sinclair? What a reminder. You see the name Sinclair. But who put the sin in Sinclair? Isn't that a nice gospel message to remind him that Mr. Sinclair have sin? Even his name indicated that. Well, is that a true statement? Now, I'm going to need your help. Because I know if I tell you things, you're not going to remember things. Plus, they save me looking up verses. So there's two reasons. One is selfish. One is to help you. Do you know of any scripture that could prove that would tell us that there's sin in Mr. Sinclair? Anyone can think of a verse to help me? What verse could we justify that statement?
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Does Mr. Sinclair fall into the category of all? He does, doesn't he? Mr. Sinclair, because Scripture says all have sinned. Wait a minute. In our lives, I'll share with you something too. As you grow older, maybe you're already doing it. It's much easier to point finger at someone else. Look at Mr. Sinclair. He's a sinner. We have to remember that. We often have to come back. What about me? Right? Didn't the old saying used to go, when you point that one finger at someone, three fingers come back pointing this way? Mr. Sinclair, but what about you? So when you see the dinosaur sign, what should it prompt you to? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, it's not just names. There are many things out there that should prompt us. And I'll come back to name in a minute. I see the water bottles here. So when you see water, does it prompt you into thinking of anything in regard to the Word of God? What does God's Word say about water? Nothing. Oh, someone have a hand up.
When the soldier pierced his side, and blood and water came out.
Oh, that is so nice. I didn't even think of that part. That's right. When they pierced his side, forthwith came two things. Blood and water. What a nice thought to be reminded that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. Now, I'm going to let you can even write it down when you go home. Anything, when you see water, it should prompt you. As I turn around walking, I see there's a door. The Scripture talk about the door. What does Scripture say about the door?
They had to put blood on the top of their doors.
Water on the top of the door. Oh, they put blood on top of the doorpost. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, that reminds you. That's good. I didn't think of that neither. It speaks of Passover. The Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Is there another thought someone had? I can't tell with the fan action or you waving your hand to say yes. What about the door? Did someone say he's a door? It's a verse that says something like, I am the door. Yeah? You know that verse? By me. It said, I am the door. By me, if any man... I'm trying to think. I told you I don't have a good memory, so I need a lot of help. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, something happens. Do we need to ask someone older than 10? Older than 15? By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So do we think of that every time we look at a house? There's a door there. What a gospel message that we can just... God has provided so much prompt for us to be remembered. But remember that reticular activator, it do two things. One, it helps us sleep. One, it helps us to be aware of things. And if we don't practice to be conscious, then we become asleep. I see a door every day, so what? You see bread? Have you seen a loaf of bread before? Anyone seen a loaf of bread before? No? You have. What do you think of it when you see a loaf of bread? What?
Delicious.
Oh, I think that's a good thought. But I wasn't thinking of that. I was thinking of yummy. But that's close, right? What other thoughts do you have when you see a loaf of bread?
Should I pick on some of the older ones, see if they... No, I'm going to let the older one, if someone wants it. Oh, you have a hand up.
Jesus is body.
Jesus, sorry, say it again.
Jesus is body.
Jesus is body? Yeah, that's good. That's good. He's the bread of life too, isn't he? So we need to be conscious of what the gospel, what the word of God reminds us constantly. Let's go back to Mr. Sinclair for a minute. You know, sometimes with name is interesting too, right? So, Mrs. Sinclair, we were reminded who put the sin in Mr. Sinclair. Now, I'm just thinking of another name. We shouldn't pick on anyone. In fact, I don't think there's this name in this room, unless I missed it. Well, how come we have names like Newman? Isn't it nice to see someone, rather than sin put into a man, he's a Newman or new man? Do we get reminded of that? How can someone be a new man? Oh, when they put on Christ. When they put on Christ. Now, can I share with you something personal? Okay, now to understand this, you need to know how to write Chinese. How many here can write Chinese? Your mom and dad hasn't taught you that yet? Oh, do you? You know, a lot of people wonder about my last name. They go, S-O, so. Well, really, it's not my name. It's the closest English enunciation to what the Chinese name is. In fact, even a lot of Chinese don't look at a name for the meaning. It's just like we don't look at a name for the true meaning, even in English, unless we look at it carefully. The name So means resurrection. Okay, some people said just wake up. So depending on how you look at it, awakening. But I like to look at it as resurrection. In fact, I'll share with you another Chinese phrase. The name Jesus. We don't use the phrase Jesus. In Chinese, he's called Yesu. And the Su, or the So, is the same word as in my last name, So. And the phrase Ye means the Lord. So it's nice to think that when the Chinese translated the name Jesus, they say that he is the Lord of resurrection. Isn't it nice to know that there is sin came into the world and death by sin, and someone quoted, is that the verse you say? Yeah, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then another verse that came to my mind is, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How did God give us that gift? By the death of his Son. Death, this morning, if the Lord leave us here for a few more minutes, for a little while, we have the privilege to remember him and his death for us. I know some will say, we go worship the Lord, and I don't believe that's the right phrase. Although worship and thanksgiving should come out because of the remembrance. We are called to remember him in his death. But death with the Lord Jesus is always associated with resurrection. He was in the grave for 3 days. After that, he came, he arose from the dead. We find throughout Scripture that resurrection is what God has in mind. How many ever heard of the story of Noah and his ark? How many of you, if you read Scripture carefully and see, when did the ark rest it on dry ground? Anyone look at that? When? On the 44th day? I'm glad you're thinking. Not quite. It was over a year. But it was very specific. Is that on the 7th month, the 17th day. Well, why is this so specific? You find through all Scripture, the 17th day, the 7th month, or depending on how you look at the first month, is Resurrection Day. So you go through Scripture and you'll find resurrection as a big scene for the Lord. So What did we talk about? We talked about you should be prompted when you see things. When you see the gas station, or perhaps when you play with dinosaur. How many of you got dinosaur toys? Oh, just two hands? I thought every kid played with dinosaur. Maybe you can look at it every time you go, who put this in, and Mr. Sinclair? Oh, and me. Do you want to be a Newman? Oh, a new man. Is resurrection important to you? And I trust, children, that if you go home and mommy said, what did you learn? I think it would be precious to learn even the three things. What were the three things again? I forgot now. Anyone remember the three things? What was the first one? For all have... Yeah, and you should be reminded by Mr. Sinclair. What was the second one? Boy. That we should be put on as a new man. And we should, the third one, remember resurrection. Okay, let's, we have time for a couple more hymns. Who have a hymn for us? You gave one out already, right? No? Okay. What would you like?
Nine.
Oh, that's nice. Hymn number 9. Into a tent where stop there. I'm sorry, I thought meeting ends at 10:30, so I'm already over. I apologize. Blessed God and our loving Father, we give thanks again this morning for the privilege of telling forth the gospel of thy grace. We look to thee, we commit our children here into thine hand. We ask for help, we ask for blessings for them. We ask that thou would help them to realize the lost conditions and that they would repent while there's still time. So we give thanks again for this privilege. We give thanks to that. We're reminded that there are many things around us should remind us of the story of thy grace. So we give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.